In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As you can see, this topic is extremely important. I will talk to you more actually about cases that I see or I saw before that are suffering because of that, because of the mistakes that happened to our children when they were very young. Actually, this challenge today is about the young generation. I remember about 6 months ago, I wrote a report to our bishop in Southern California, and I asked his grace to pay more attention to parenting. And I said to his grace, if you ask me what is the most significant need in our church today, it's about raising our children. Your generation, my generation, it's over. You know, what happened, happened. But what can we do for our kids, especially for those who are still very young? And when I'm saying very young, I mean those who are under age 6 or 5. But in general, the earlier the better. If we can catch doing the right thing as early as possible, our chances would be much, much better for our children. Let me start with 4 verses in the Epistle of St. Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 18 through 21, 18, 19, 20, and 21. And this passage, this paragraph, is specially written about the family, Christian family. And St. Paul just summarized his instructions in these four verses. The first one, addressed to wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. And then, second one, to husbands. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Do not be bitter toward them. Then, talking to children. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. But now, the talk is to parents, specifically fathers. You know, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And in a similar situation in Philippians chapter 6, verse 4, Saint Paul says here, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. That's the Colossians. And now he says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I repeat it again. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Actually, in these 2 verses here, do not provoke lest they become discouraged. Do not provoke to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. How do we provoke our children? It came, the same word came in the two situations. How do we provoke our children? And what happens when we provoke our children? This is the subject of our talk this morning. In order to understand that more and more, let us go to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 18. Because the Lord Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is talking about the most serious mistake to offend our children. That's how we provoke them. When we offend them, when we make them stumble, you know? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." That's a warning. But listen, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Matthew chapter 18, verse 2 to 7. It never happened before or after that our Lord Jesus Christ used such a harsh language to warn us against doing something. Can you believe that the Lord Himself is saying that? It's better, it would be better for that person who made a child to sin, better for that person if a millstone were hung around his neck and let him die, drowned. Why? You know why, of course. Because God created our children when they were just born, like blank thing, innocent. Like I always give this example of the, when you go and buy a new computer, laptop, it's empty. And then you start to download programs and stuff to make it work. That's exactly what happens with our children's mind. They are born, their mind is so clean and so clear, like a white sheet, like snow, pure. And then they start to be exposed to experience in life. Who is downloading, or who is responsible in on downloading these experiences, such exposures? It's you and me, adults, specifically parents. And if it happens that we downloaded something bad or wrong, then it's stuck here. It's not gonna go. It can't be erased. That's exactly what happens to our computers. They say once the computer is exposed to something, it can hardly be erased. Sometimes we can remove worms and viruses, stuff like that. But unfortunately for kids, it's very hard. And there is nothing called like an antivirus program. You can't install antivirus program. You know what is the antivirus programs for the kids? It's prevention, huh? Is prevention, is love, peace, and all these spiritual things. And that's what we hear and listen in our practice as doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, social workers. Usually they deal with that stuff all the time. So how do children get offended? It's number one, about their self-image. Number two, about their identity. Number three, about their self-esteem. And number four, about their future behavior. These four things constitute the four elements of the child's future life. Self-image. You know, first, let me go back to the self-image because it's very important. I'll give you just one example. Yesterday, we mentioned that God has created all of us in His image, right? And according to His likeness. Surtu wa misalu. So, what am I supposed to see in the mirror? When you go upstairs back to your rooms, look into the mirror and see yourself there. What do you see? What would you see? Are you going to see a beautiful image of God? Are you going to like this image and say, wow, I am like God, I'm like Christ, I'm beautiful. Regardless of who you are, regardless of anything else. Because the image of God is Christ, and Christ is beautiful. He's actually much more beautiful than all humans. But this is how I see myself. I should see myself like that. When I see myself like that, I would like myself. Who hates here looking into a beautiful image? The last image here on the screen was a very beautiful image of Christ and Saint Mary. This is the image. And what do you see? Do you see in your image of Christ this kind of joy and beauty that would attract you to come closer to God or not? Remember, one Sunday school teacher, a female teacher, told us that story one time. She brought pens and sheets of paper to her class, fourth graders, age 10, and she asked each student to draw the image of Christ. And all kids, except one, they drew the image of Saint Mary carrying the child Christ on her hand. Like, you know, the Theotokos icon in our churches. But that kid was a boy, and he portrayed Jesus like someone who's sitting on a chair, very firm look, very angry look, and some fire coming out of his eyes and his head, and a fireplace to his right hand, and fire coming out of that. So she asked the kid, what is that, Habibi? And he said, that's Jesus. Jesus, what is this fireplace? I said, This is the fireplace he is preparing for all of us, because we all are sinners.